Hey friends, if you will remain standing, if you'll remain standing and put your hand on a Bible, open with me to John's Gospel, chapter 5, the fifth chapter of John's Gospel in the New Testament. This is actually a good lead in for April. We'll look at several of the sayings of Jesus in John's Gospel, where Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. That'll be for Easter next week. I hope you're bringing people with you to Easter. But John chapter 5 this morning, and let's remain standing as we honor God's word while we hear it. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. And while I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me." And then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat, and walk." And at once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and he walked. Let's stop there and pray together. Father, we love you and we count on the fact that we cannot live, truly live, by bread, by human nourishment alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in and live on your living word, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. You've had this experience. Your phone buzzes and you get a message. You see the message, you read the message, and you leave it on read. You don't respond. You don't respond. Why do you don't respond? Why do you not respond? It's not because you don't understand it. It's not because you didn't see it. It's because you're just not ready to deal with it yet. You're not ready to deal with it yet. Sometimes the issue isn't clarity. It's willingness. It's a decision that has to be made. Or this has happened. You're in your car, and the car is running, and the destination is clear. You know exactly where you need to go, and you just sit. You just sit. Maybe it's after a hard conversation, or maybe it's before a hard conversation. Maybe you're even in your own driveway, or maybe you're sitting in the parking lot at work or outside someone else's house, and you're not lost and you're not broken. You're just not ready. You just don't want to move yet. And that's the moment. Let's just see that clearly. That is the moment we see in John chapter 5. When Jesus meets a man who has been sitting in the same place. A man who has been sitting in the same place for 38 years. And Jesus asks him a question that sounds weird. Let's just say it. When we read this, when we hear Jesus ask that question, "Do you want to get well?" I mean, doesn't it sound strange to us? Doesn't it sound like grating to us? Like, aren't there better questions Jesus could have asked this guy? "Don't you want to get well?" Of course he wants to get well. Somebody's dragging him out here by the healing pool. And y'all, here's the story. You know, there are people here, and there was this story, there was this sort of mythology around the Bethesda pool at the Sheep Gate on the edge of Jerusalem. There was this local mythology that an angel would come. That an angel would come periodically and stir up the water. But when the angel came and stirred up the water, there wasn't a miracle for everyone. There was only a miracle. This was the myth. There was only a miracle for the first person. And that's why I said I've been waiting. Somebody always gets to the miracle first. Y'all, like there's only one miracle. But let's be honest, don't we live like that sometimes? Like there's a miracle for somebody else and not for me. Can you see this scene? I close my eyes and I imagine what in our life looks most like this scene that Jesus encountered by the Bethesda pool at the sheep gate. Maybe it's like that line. Have you driven through downtown alongside the Emmaus House soup kitchen? And you see the line of homeless men and women. They're just stretching their wraps around the block waiting to get their meal. I wonder if that's what this looked like. Or maybe you've had the misfortune to end up in the ER at Memorial late at night. And y'all, in a room that's half this size, there are three times as many people as you crammed into that one space. And everybody's a little bit hurt, and everybody's a little bit broken, and everybody's a little bit stuck. And just like you, they've got hopes, and they've got dreams, and they've got stories, and they may even have some kind of vague, like religious hope that God one day, someday, will do something for them. But there's not any real honest hope of change. Y'all, this is not a place. This is a picture. It's a picture of us. It's a picture of our hearts. And I think if Jesus walks in today, Jesus says to us, He asks us the same question. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? It's such an odd question until you realize how many of you really are living stuck some way. So what is Jesus asking? Why does Jesus ask this? I want to break this down a couple of ways. One, Jesus asks, do you want to get well, in order to reveal the difference between need and desire. The difference between need and desire. He didn't walk in to the crowd at the Bethesda pool at the sheep gate. He didn't walk in and say, how many of you need to get better? Or even the one man. Do you need to be healed? The answer to do you need to be healed is obvious. It's a different question. Do you want to be healed? Because y'all, we know this. Need does not produce change. Need. You can identify your need. Need does not produce change. Desire produces change. Desire produces change. And we don't really decide that we want to grow until desire moves to decision. We're not really open to change until desire moves to decision. We've spent weeks with that devotional book, Jesus Asking. And now finally here in the last week before Easter, Jesus is asking us to say, am I growing? It's not just Jesus asking. We're asking ourselves, and we're dead on target. Here's the question. Do you really want to grow? Do you really want to grow? As Jesus asked it, do you want to get well? Y'all, this is an Academy Award-winning speech. It's only a couple of sentences. John 5:7. Jesus says, do you want to get well? Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I am trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. We know this, friends, because we've made speeches like this. That's not an answer. That's an excuse. That's not an answer. It's an excuse. You know, everybody's got an excuse. I love this. But when it comes to an excuse, the people who love you, they don't need to hear your excuse. The people who don't love you, the excuse doesn't matter anyway, right? If they love you, you don't need an excuse. If they don't love you, the excuse, they don't care. But look at this. It's such an understandable excuse. Let's look at him with some compassion for a moment. It's an understandable excuse. But let's be clear with him as well, because clarity is always charity. Being clear is always a gift of love. This man is avoiding the question that Jesus poses. Do you notice that? It's a great story. I have no one to help me into the pool. But he doesn't answer the question that Jesus asked. Do you want to get well? I'll be honest with you about my own stuckness. I'd much rather explain why I got to where I am than answer the question, do you want to be made well? I could write you a paragraph. I could write you an essay on why I am stuck. And that's so much easier. It may be long and complicated, but that's so much easier than actually setting it aside and walking out of it and leaving it behind. For real transformation, for real growth to take place, desire has to become decision. And there are a bunch of reasons, y'all, a bunch of good reasons. Reasons why he didn't want to get up, reasons why he didn't want to change, reasons why you don't want to change. There are a lot of reasons. Change is different. Change is just different. Let's say that. That's one reason we don't want to change, is because change is different. We are familiar with the pain or the brokenness or the stuckness that we're in right now. Have you ever had a pair of shoes you just refuse to get rid of? They're worn out, like the soles are starting to get thin. You can see your sock color. If I, you know, put it up like this, you can see the sock color through the bottom. They don't support anything anymore, but they're still a little bit comfortable. And they look right when you wear that particular pair of pants, right? They just look right with it. They're familiar. You know how they feel. You know where they rub. And then somebody says to you, why are you wearing those old shoes? Why are you wearing those old? You need new shoes. And you put on a new, you go and you shop and you try on a new pair, and they just feel weird. They feel too tight. Not because they're bad or because they're worse, just because they're different. Just because they're different. Some of us live like that spiritually. Some of us live like that spiritually. We are walking, not in shoes, but we're walking in patterns of life that don't support us anymore, that don't really help us anymore, but they are familiar paths and familiar patterns, and we would rather stay in what we know than step into something new that God has prepared for us. Do you want to be healed? Different feels wrong. Even when it's the one thing that Jesus is offering to make us right. Different feels wrong even when it's the thing Jesus is offering to make us right. Change is difficult. Change is also costly. Change is also costly. If this man gets well, suddenly his whole life changes. I've seen this happen to people who've built their entire identity around their profession, around their jobs. Successful, respected, known for what they do, but even themselves in their most clear moments, they know that deep down something's a little bit off because the pace of life is unsustainable. They know their priorities are out of order. And sometimes it takes the crisis of retirement or near retirement to really see this. It doesn't have to take that long. But you can feel it on the inside, God nudging you and shaping you and trying to sand off some rough edges. Something needs to change. But here's the problem. If they change, they don't just lose a habit. They lose a version of themselves. And the story they've created about what their identity is and who their identity is, they lose a version of themselves. And the question becomes, who am I if I'm not that person anymore? Think about our man by the pool. For 38 years, this was his identity. I am the man who cannot walk. I am the man. Someone comes and helps me every day to get down to the Bethesda. If I don't go lay by the Bethesda pool at the sheep gate, what am I going to do with my life? Everything is a mystery. Healing, the prospect of healing doesn't just promise to fix his legs. It offers to rewrite his whole life. And he's not convinced at the beginning of this that that's what he wants. We don't resist change because it's hard. We resist change because it costs us who we think we are. Change removes excuses. We talked about excuses a little bit. There's no more blaming the pool or the angel. There's no more blaming other people. There's no more blaming a system that's rigged against us. You ever hear anybody talk like that? People use this excuse all the time when they try for change. You ever set your alarm? Have you ever decided the night before, I'm going to set my alarm an hour earlier? Whatever that means for you. If you already are at 7, you're going back to 6, or if you're at 6, back to 5, I'm going to set my alarm an hour earlier. And it goes off, and y'all, you've never even been to law school, but suddenly you are a lawyer laying in your bed. You're not even awake. Oh, I didn't sleep that great last night. Snooze. Oh, I need rest to be my best. Snooze. You know, you're already arguing against what you decided just a few hours earlier. You've built the argument just to support your desire to stay in bed. You know, the alarm, it didn't surprise you. It didn't confuse you because you said it. What the alarm did, the alarm exposed you. The alarm exposed you. This man says, I have no one. Someone else always gets to me first. That is not a solution. That is a story that he is telling himself to stay right where he is. We don't have excuses. We build systems of explanation that defend and protect us in our stuckness. Change requires responsibility. Whew. That's a big word, y'all. Change requires responsibility. Healing means movement. It means a different life. If you ever had a physical therapy after an injury or a surgery, there may be a surgery to fix a problem, but the therapy, the ongoing therapy, is where the real healing happens. And it's slow, and it's painful, and it's repetitive, and it's flat out boring, and you can't outsource it. Nobody can do it for you. But it's the epitome of the responsibility it takes for real change. You could have the best diagnosis, the best doctor, the best action plan, but if you don't work it, if you don't do the work yourself, then healing will never come. Change requires responsibility. Jesus doesn't carry the man down and dip him in the water. Jesus says to him directly, get up, pick up your mat, and take the first step. That is responsibility. Healing is a gift, but living a healed life, that's responsibility. And it's heavy responsibility. You don't ever drift into growth. You don't ever drift into transformation. You don't ever drift into lasting healing. You decide your way and you live your way into it. You see this, right? Let me say it again. You see this. Jesus does not gather volunteers to grab the man and take him and dip him in the pool. He gives him a command, an invitation, an opportunity. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Jesus doesn't wait for some sign of healing before he asks him to move. Jesus tells him to move as though healing were already about to happen. And the change begins when the man's desire becomes his decision to get up. He picked up his mat and he walked. all through our Lenten season, we've been saying this over and over. Look at Jesus. Gaze at Him. Look at Him. Listen to Him. Receive from Him. Feed on His Word, where the Spirit prompts you, speak that Word. When He speaks a Word to you, speak it, share it with someone else. Grow in His love. And now He is saying it so clearly. Move. Take a step. Do not stay where you are. That mat, this man had laid on the mat for 38 years. It had helped him for a season, but now it defines him. It had limited him. And he decided, would the mat continue to carry him, or would he pick up the mat and carry it into the future? I just want to ask you this question this morning. Where are you stuck today? Where are you stuck today? Where might Jesus ask you, do you want to get well? I don't think He's coming at you today with 10 changes. I don't think He has a manifesto of all the things that need to be fixed today. But I think there is one place where Jesus today is asking you to get up. Let me give you three options, three places that may be true for you. You probably don't need all three of these. In fact, I'll tell you, you don't need all three. Listen to one of these for where Jesus is saying today, where do you want? Do you want to be made well? For some of you, the next step is to release a habit that just has you stuck. You have a habit, a persistent way of living, something you already know, something that you can explain and manage and justify, like just like this the man. Someone always gets there. You can defend how you got there. Maybe for some of you, it's what's feeding your soul. Maybe it's your constant scrolling or your constant noise. You just can't turn the sound off. You always have to have something in your ear. Maybe it's the constant complaining. We're almost done. I'll hang up and I'll answer later. That's like the fight song. Somebody's fight song right there. That's pretty good. My next line was the constant distraction, right? And there it goes. Maybe for you it's a pattern of anger. Maybe it's a pattern. I just got to stop here for a second. All right, here we go. What's your habit you need to release? Maybe it really is. Maybe it's a pattern of anger. Or a pattern of making light of something that's serious. Maybe it's a pattern of avoidance, or maybe it's a pattern of just coming home at the end of the day and numbing out and just trying to just chill away from everything and missing some important responsibility. Jesus is not asking you to fix everything today, but He is asking you to put one thing down. Do you want to be healed? What's one habit that you need to stop carrying today? For others of you, the next step is not something to drop, it's someone. It's someone that you want to move toward. There's a conversation you've been avoiding. There's a person you need to forgive or ask forgiveness from. Jesus invites you today to step toward someone who has felt distant from you or difficult to deal with, and you're waiting. You know it's there. You know the relationship needs some help. It needs the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And you've been saying, I'm waiting for the right moment. And I think Jesus says today is the day. This is the moment. Who's the one person you need to take a step toward this week? Send a text, make a call. Who is the one person you need to move toward this week? And maybe for some of you, the next step is simply to begin, to initiate a more consistent pattern in your spiritual life. The need, the very real need Not to create something complicated, not to iron out all the details and make it perfect, just something daily. Just something daily. Even if it means just sitting for a longer moment, 5 minutes, reading a scripture, closing your eyes and quieting all the other noise around you and say, Jesus, are you asking something of me today? What do you want to tell me that I can't learn anywhere else in the world? Maybe we've talked about this. Maybe it's finally taking your cup and putting your cup under the tap, under the flow of God's grace. So that when His Word comes, we believe He's speaking all the time, so that when His Word comes, you're ready and your ears are open and your heart is open to receive exactly what it is He's saying. And like we pray almost every Sunday when we read the Scripture, so that you could take that and you could eat it up, so that you could live by that Word that He's speaking. And it could change your mind and your heart and your life to position yourself to receive. What's one simple practice that you need to begin? You don't need all three of those. You don't need all three of those. Jesus is asking for one, maybe a habit to release, a relationship to step toward, or a practice to begin. I've said it already, change begins when desire becomes decision. If we answer that question, am I growing? Change begins, transformation begins when desire becomes decision. I'm going to ask you just to take a moment to name that place. To name that place, not to say, oh, that was a great message, Pastor. I like that. I agree with that. Jesus is asking for decision today. Jesus is asking for decision. So take a moment. Let's just sit in silence. One of those things, a relationship to move toward, a habit to drop, a spiritual practice to begin. What is Jesus saying to you? Friends, as we gather here on Palm Sunday, we're definitely walking toward the cross. Jesus is walking toward the cross. He knows what He wants to do. He knows His next step. And He doesn't want to leave you with any less clarity than what He has. He knows where He's going. He knows where He's come from heaven. He knows where He's going to the cross for the redemption of all the world. He is headed for joy. He's headed for Easter. He's headed for resurrection. And friends, that's what this gift is. That's what the gift of healing for this man is in John 5. That's what every gift of transformation is for you. It is a foretaste of resurrection. It's an extension of that same power, that same Holy Spirit power that raised Him from the dead. It raises you from the dead right where you are. You don't even know you're dead, and He raises you from the dead. Maybe your place of healing is a place of coming to the cross and knowing you've heard an invitation time and again, and you know yet that you've not surrendered yourself in faith to trust Christ for salvation. And this could be your day. This could be your day. You know, as we wrap up our service, you know, with some of our prayer team, Rudy and Cindy LaMonica will be here. I'll be here. If there's a place where you hear Jesus clearly answering you on your place of change, and you want to secure that, or you want to kind of mark that, Come and pray with someone. If you need to pray for salvation, come and find one of us, and we can stay here, or even after the service, grab us, and we'll go. And you know, they're getting ready for the next service here. We'll go back to the prayer room and continue to pray with you, and let God's power meet you so that your desire can really become decision, and your decision can fuel healing and growth in the name of Jesus. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we love you and we're thankful for this. We're thankful for this day 2,000 years ago when you walked through a group of people who were then just as stuck as maybe some of us are, maybe all of us are even today. And you come walking through with this offer of healing, with this offer of life. An offer that's not limited to just one or two, an offer that's available to all. Father, give us grace to hear your voice calling us and saying, pick up the mat and walk, and give us the grace, Father, to take the first step, trusting the healing that you have already offered us and made real for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.